Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, the quick hit podcast that gets you ready for the day in, well, just about 10 minutes. That's what we try to do around here every day. I'm Post-Gazette columnist Jason Mackey. Good to be with you. It was a busy weekend in Pittsburgh. Today's episode, we're going to talk about the Pitt Blue Gold game, the Pirates splitting a series with the Phillies, and a milestone for one fan favorite. But the biggest story in Pittsburgh sports right now is the Penguins. Things didn't go so well there on Saturday night. We're going to talk about that. But first, I want to remind you that we're sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. If you don't really have to love baseball to be a North Shore Tavern fan, but the interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. All right, lead story this morning, the stuff that I think is bubbling to a head, I would argue. Tonight's game against the Predators is obviously a big one, the biggest of the year. But Saturday, I was at PPG Paints Arena as the Penguins fell 6-4 to the Boston Bruins. They did not play well. You can blame it on Alex Nedeljkovic or Tristan Jarry or whatever. They didn't play well enough in front of them. And I think they admitted as much, just far too many golden opportunities given. It feeds into a bigger thing that I talked about in my column going off of that game, which is live on our website at this point. But we're kidding ourselves if we think this is a team destined to make some sort of run. They might get in, but in the offseason, I really hope they take a long look at themselves in the mirror, and it was emblematic in what we saw against the Bruins. Failure to, I don't know, after scoring a goal, they let one in. Two goals in 14 seconds. Failure to cover things in the defensive end. The power play, yes, I know they scored. I'd hardly say that unit is a huge threat. Special teams, other special teams wise, with the penalty kill, it's not been great. Not saying you need to blow it all up, not saying everything is terrible, but they've been on a nice run here. 7-0-3 prior to that one, 7-1-3. Now they still might get into the playoffs, but again, I think just a sober, critical assessment of where they are and some tough decisions that need to be made. Well, Kyle Dubas is going to have his hands full, right? Until then, this is one heck of a race, isn't it? If you look at where they stand, and I kind of have to look at this, I have not committed it to memory yet, but the big story of the game Saturday is the Wings, Flyers, Capitals all winning. Penguins have two games left. Flyers have one. Everybody else has two. Capitals, Wings, and Flyers all have 87 points. The Penguins have 86, meaning they're obviously going to need some help. The Islanders sitting there 90 points in third place in the Metropolitan Division. I can't believe that there's theoretically a chance, but there is. Everybody's in action on Monday. Wings, Habs, Islanders, Devils, Capitals, Bruins. Going to be interesting. It'll be also be interesting to see what Mike Sullivan does with his goaltenders. I don't know what you guys would think about doing. I would go with Tristan Jarry. Whether to start Ned or Jarry, I think this point, I mean, you're paying the guy $5 million and change. I realize Ned got you to this point, and it's great. But I think it's 15 goals allowed over his past five games. If Jarry fashions himself as a starter and as a Pittsburgh Penguin, it's put up or shut up time, right? Like, you have the opportunity to prove yourself. I know he's been a little bit rusty. I'm not sure I care. At this point, I'm banking on Tristan Jarry being my franchise. And this decision could obviously blow up horribly. Sullivan could go with Ned. I think when I was thinking back to this in the Cup final, when it was Sullivan having to pick between Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury, I think I might have said he went with Fleury. So, take my opinions with a grain of salt, but my reasoning is that if there's ever a time to get Jari back in, now is it. It really wasn't, as I said earlier, the goaltender's fault. They have to be a lot better in front of him. That holds whether it's Ned, whether it's Jari. But if you think Jari is your guy, which, you know, a year ago they certainly did, and I would argue before this current run, they would probably tell you that they did, you've got to go back to that guy, right? I would think. So we'll see how it plays out. There's obviously more stuff going on around Pittsburgh sports. We'll pivot now to our second topic, the Pittsburgh Pirates split a series with the Philadelphia Phillies in Philly. And, you know, there's some individual stuff we'll talk about. Let's lead with Andrew McCutchen. I mean, you have to, right? It's finally gets home run number 300. Such a cool milestone for him. Such a cool milestone for Pirates fans. I feel bad for Cutch, man. I feel partially responsible for this. Really, I went up to him on the workout day in Miami before the season started. And, you know, it's a story, right? He's at 299 home runs, has a chance to do it. I'm not asking explicitly about that. I was asking more about, like, what the club would mean to him being in the company of somebody with it's off memory. I can't totally get it, but, like, 300 home runs, 2,000 hits, 200 steals, something like that. It's like an all-encompassing club. Anyway, yeah, Cutch wasn't thrilled, and I don't blame him. I'm sure if I was a player in that position, I wouldn't want to be talking about future performance or maybe individual goals, that sort of stuff. Like, the focus is the team, right? But, you know, he talks about it a little bit, and he's gracious as always. And here he sits way longer than he would like to get 300. But finally, he did. We can all move on. Impactful home run. And a pretty solid series all in all for the Pirates. You go into Philadelphia and you split. I think you got to feel pretty good about that. The one thing I don't feel great about, Marco Gonzalez with a forearm strain. They're already thin on pitching depth. Now you have to figure that one out. The only good news is they can kind of fudge it for a little bit. They don't need a fifth starter for 9 days, something like that. I could be off numbers wise, but they can go a little bit without really needing somebody because of off days. And at that point, you're probably going to go Quinn Priester, I would imagine, if he keeps pitching well and is ready to go. Strikeout total has been high. Velocity has been very good. I was not surprised that they didn't go with Paul Skenes, pardon the double negative. But they are so in their lane with what they're doing with Paul, good, bad, or indifferent. That would be so weird to pivot off of that because Marco Gonzalez has a bum forearm. And I don't even know the severity of Gonzalez's forearm thing, but not surprised they didn't go Skenes. Anyway, got to get Gonzalez healthy, got to get more pitching. One thing I saw in this today specifically that I've kind of been watching with the Pirates, I don't love what Derek Shelton has done with Jack Sawinski. It's kind of made him a platoon player, a bit player. If you look up his numbers over, you know, even dating back to last season against left-handed pitching, they're actually not terrible. And I think by taking him out of the lineup, you're doing more harm than good. I think he's the kind of guy that needs to play, needs to get in a rhythm, needs to establish himself. It's not been perfect. I'm not saying it has, but, you know, I'd rather see him in the lineup more times than not, which, again, is going to create a problem with Brian Reynolds, Michael A. Taylor, Edward Olivares, Jack, whatever. You know, you even keeping Connor Joe in the mix with Rowdy Tellez at first base. It's an imperfect scenario, but I don't totally love Jack being a part-time player. We'll see what happens there. All in all, though, pretty good series, like I said, with the Pirates and Cutch. You know, I wrote a column, too, about what Andrew McCutchen, I think, means to people of my generation. Obviously, I'm not a fan. This job beats that out of you pretty good. I've had that discussion with people. Like, I've never had an issue. If anything, you try to guard against, like, hating the team you cover or hating work. I don't. I love my job. But, you know, you are very much not rooting for things other than, you know, I don't want to go to overtime. I don't want a rain delay. I don't want a long game. I want outcomes decided early so I can write a good story. So, I mean, you're not a fan, but you can still appreciate what Andrew McCutchen means. And the point of my column, just to sum it up here, is that for people in my generation, I would say, you know, 40 and younger, something like that, we've never really had anything Pirates related to call our own. Everybody has sort of passed through here, gone somewhere else, and then they blow up, you know, in a good way. Andrew McCutchen played his best baseball here, signed here, wanted to stay here, gave us something, became an established part of the community, actually valued this city, valued this team. And so I obviously that's going to be reciprocated. Yes, he went to other places, but nobody's going to identify Kutch as a Yankee, a Philly, a Giant, a Brewer, something like that. Like, he is a Pirate. I just think it's such a cool thing for him to get 300 in this way. Happy for him. It's cool to see how embraced and loved he is by this generation, and just, you know, can't say enough good things. All right, going to move on to the final topic, Pitt football, the Blue Gold game at Acrisure Stadium on Saturday. I thought there was some pretty impressive stuff there. I didn't know quite what to expect, hearing what had been happening with some scrimmages in the offseason, the defense coming out on top quite a bit, but was reasonably impressed with Nate Yarnell, and Eli Holstein. Yarnell is going to be the starting quarterback. Pat Narduzzi confirmed that after the game, but Holstein's the transfer from Alabama. You don't wind up at Alabama without any ability. I would think that this kid probably gets in there and sees some time, but some interesting storylines with them. And to me, it's a lot offense. With Cade Bell, the new offensive coordinator there, I was curious to see how fast they went. They went pretty fast. As productive as I'd like to be, maybe not. Need to run the ball better. I expected a little bit more in that sense, but at the same time, it is tough with your offensive linemen kind of divvied up and you're doing an inter-squad scrimmage and you can't always get the best look at what you have running the ball. But I do think that even if you're in shotgun, you're in spread, you're doing all this funky stuff, like, you got to be able to run the ball and create some tempo there. But did like the passing game. I liked what I saw from Kenny Johnson. Looked very good. Kanate Mumfield as well. Maybe the biggest story, tight end Gavin Bartholomew. They're actually getting him downfield and using him in the pass game a little bit. If they can do that, man, that should be some pretty big stuff. I was talking with some people in and around this game, and, you know, I'd be hard pressed to think of a bigger spring game for Pat Narduzzi. I know he didn't want to talk about that all that much in the week leading up to it, but I think there's a lot to prove with Pitt. And that was kind of the point of something I wrote off of that when he said it was a breath of fresh air, and they've had a whole, you know, different feel around the program this spring, which is great. They need to. 3-9 and the way the offense performed, like, they should go in a different direction, and they did. I like what Cade Bell has done. We're only partially there, but the first taste looked pretty solid. So looking to see more. That does it for me today. We'll have plenty more for you. Actually, going off of Penguins Predators, going to be very hockey related in our next one of these. So make sure you like and subscribe. You can get all of these, and as well as the other content that is available on our North Shore Drive Pirates Podcast Network, or Post Gazette Podcast Network, and talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.